and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard. It's New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580 with Prout Financial Design. The whole gang is here and an extra special guest today. Welcome aboard, Mr. Dennis Prout.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you, Ron, on January 20th, 2022. And joining us today, as you mentioned, is Heidi Thompson, our Managing Director.
Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
And also Master Elite Advisor with Ed Slot and Company.
Ah. Yes, indeed.
Ah. As am I. And yep. Also joining us, Shay Pataja, our Chief Experience Officer. Welcome. Welcome, Shay.
I'm just Ed's friend.
Friend of Ed.
Yeah, they get to be Master Elite Advisors, and I tag along for the ride, but it's fun.
Yes, indeed. It's fun. It is fun. Ed Slot, I think, I'm never quite certain, but... when this was, but I attended Ed's first class. I'm pretty sure it was in San Diego in 1996, but we don't want to hark back that far. But it is really exciting to have Ed join us. Ed Slot is a nationally recognized IRA distribution expert, professional speaker, television personality, and best-selling author. Indeed, he is all of those. He is known for his unparalleled ability to turn advanced tax strategies into understandable, actionable, and entertaining advice. And Heidi had mentioned that before the show, that we actually, honestly, really enjoy going to his classes. He is that good at bringing the complex and helping us say, okay, what should we really be concentrating on in this complex world?
Yep, he gives us a lot of good ideas to... apply all these changes in a practical situation with our clients, and really helps us take better care of our clients and look out for their interests.
He does. A great point. So, Ed Slot, welcome. Good morning.
Well, great to be back. Happy New Year. Great to be back with you and Heidi. A jump start to the new year, helping people keep more of their hard-earned retirement savings, which we all know is a challenge when it comes to taxes.
You bet. Well, that's good morning, true. And thank you for joining us. So, first question before we get into the list that we sent to you. If you were talking big picture, first off, let's start with big picture. If you were talking to a 30-year-old, 35-year-old, and or a 60-year-old, what would be the main components or things that you would share with them, most important about these retirement accounts? What would you say to each or both of them, Ed?
Well, I don't think I can put the 30-year-old and the 60-year-old in the same boat here, because the 30-year-old is all into the crypto and the NFTs and all of these things, and maybe I just don't know enough about them. But for the 60 or 70-year-old, either approaching retirement or already there, I would always say, because this stuff's everywhere now, be careful that you understand what you invest in and you understand the risks. The older people, and that includes me, I mean people in retirement in your 60s or early 70s, you don't have time to recover from a loss. So you need to be more careful on how you invest. There's no new money coming in. Going back to the 30-year-olds, well, they have a different time frame, a different perspective. You know, young people have time to recover from mistakes they make. Oh, and they also have parents who will bail them out. You don't if you're in retirement. So you have to be much more careful. And maybe crypto, I was just reading an article this morning, I think at USA Today, is trying to explain NFTs, non-fungible tokens, to baby boomers, people in their 60s. And it still drives me a little nuts that I can't really explain it to somebody to the point where they feel comfortable investing in it. So you got two different perspectives, the 30-year-old and the 60-year-old. And on top of all of that, first of all, before I go on top of all of that, what do you think about all this that I said with this crypto stuff?
Well, that's a great question, because NFTs, you mentioned that, and I thought, what the heck is an NFT, a non-fungible token? That's a new term for me as well. Obviously, I know about cryptocurrencies, but it's an alternative currency. Because people have a issue with central banks and their intervention in our currencies around the world, but it has a ways to go in terms of, before I think a lot become comfortable with that kind of an investment. Yeah.
Well, especially somebody approaching retirement or already there, I think it's just critical to protect what you have, and that leads
yes.
me to the next piece of advice. And it's the same thing I just said with the other one. It's very different if you have young people. Now I'm going more towards stock market investments, and the market's crazy. I heard that you say, you know, we're on live now, and you may be listening to a replay on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Between those 2 days, the market could have gone up 1,000 and down 1,000 points. So you have tremendous volatility. So I think you have to look at that and maybe take some of those gains off the table. It's getting almost like a casino. And that's not just me saying it. In fact, a few recent articles in the Wall Street Journal, if there's ever one publication that is probably the most pro-stock market, it would be the Wall Street Journal, ergo the name Wall Street. And even there, you see in some of these articles calling it a casino. Well, imagine yourself at a casino then. Let's call it what it is. Let's say you're sitting at the table. You're winning, because everybody's been winning, especially in the last couple of years. The chips are going up. They're so high, they're over your head. You can't even see anymore. What would any smart person do? They'd probably take some of those chips off the table and lock in those gains. And that is the way I see it for retirement accounts. Not everything. I mean, myself, I still have heavy stock market investments in my Roth IRA, but I also have them buffered with more secure. I have annuities, for example, in my Roth IRA as a cushion against the volatility of the other investments. So I think maybe it's the time to look at those gains and maybe lock them in now before they may be gone. A stock market crash is in everybody's future. It's just a question of when. Mm-hmm. And older people don't have the years to recover from that. So they should be focusing on protecting, locking in those gains. And for me, in retirement, income is always more important than savings, because savings can run out. So you have to lock in income at a minimum for your basic monthly living expenses. Those have to be paid. If the stock market is down, you can't be in a position that you can't pay those bills. So I'm saying, just my advice, I don't even sell, as you know, stocks, bonds, funds, insurance, annuities. Maybe look at locking in some of those gains before they disappear altogether. Now, for the other side, for the younger people, well, they have a long road to recovery, so they can play the long game. So it's a lot different for them.
Yes, great point. So we've got another question here. Let's say someone had a very large 401k. They've never invested in an IRA in their lifetime because they've been accumulating this for years and years, decades. What would you advise somebody like this? Let's say they're 60 years old and they've accumulated $850 million in their 401k. Generally,
$850 million. If you have $850 million, buy your own radio station and answer it yourself.
See, I was looking to confuse it. Indeed, I was successful. That's all good. So, yes, so, okay, 850K.
We would really limit our audience if we were only playing to people with $500 million or more in their IRAs. Dad.
There you go.
So true. So
let's say that were the case. What would you say to them, given what you just brought up with the markets and all the rest, Ed?
Well, you can do the same in the 401K. First of all, you could roll to an IRA if it's even eligible for rollover for most people. If they're still working, it may not be eligible for rollover. But that doesn't mean you can't speak to an advisor and rebalance some of those funds so you're not so heavy in the stock market. You know, nobody likes to hear that while the stock market's going up and up and up. But now is the time, I think, for a portion, a small portion, to lock in gains. I think that's so important now. Speak to a financial advisor about it, or and see what options you have in your 401k investments. And if some of that is eligible to be rolled over to an IRA, normally that's not the case until you're 59 and a half or you're leaving the company. But if it is eligible, maybe roll some of it or all of it to an IRA where you can more customize your portfolio.
Great point. Thank you, Ed. That's interesting, given today's risk. Now, we had a question a couple weeks ago. A caller called in. We didn't have time to answer it, and I thought, well, because Ed's going to be here, this question was about the backdoor Roth. What would you say about the backdoor Roth, and do you think that's going to go away with any new legislation?
Well, I think if new legislation happens, and that's a big if at this point, and that could change day to day. If it does go through, the backdoor Roth will be eliminated because it's part of a massive bill, and nobody is looking at that provision. It's in there to be eliminated for all, regardless of income. It's in the bill, but they're talking about much bigger provisions. Plus, there's really no constituency. Now, people might say, well, I do it all the time. It's not like you're going to see people picketing outside the Capitol with signs that say, save the backdoor Roth.
Yes.
That's not happening. You know, there's not enough complaining about it, so to speak. You know what I mean? There's not a big movement. So if anything passes, this will go along for the ride. But let me explain for other listeners what that means, because it's not the be-all and end-all. It's just a way to get money into a Roth IRA if you don't qualify for contributing because your income's too high. That's all it really is.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the Roth conversion? Do you still think that the Roth conversion is still a good idea? And when is it not a good idea to do a Roth conversion?
Well, it's a Roth conversion. Let's go back to my casino model. I hate to keep bringing this up on a serious financial show, but the Roth conversion has always come down to one big giant bet on future tax rates compared to today. I'm a believer, as you know from other shows, I'm a big believer in Roth IRAs because I love anything that's tax-free. And that means paying for it up front. But it's a big bet on what future tax rates are. If you believe your future tax rates, your own rates will be higher, and I believe for most people that's the case, then the Roth conversion is a good move to make, or at least to consider. And you don't have to go all in. This is where people get misled. It's not an all or nothing. You can do, probably the best move is to start a series of smaller annual conversions, sort of dollar cost averaging into the market, staying at low brackets over a number of years. And what you'll be doing is you'll be removing a future tax bill over time so that when you're in retirement in a perfect world, hopefully all of it is in a Roth IRA and you'll never have to worry about the uncertainty of what future higher tax rates can do to your standard of living in retirement. Now, for those people, because lots of people, this is the big question, Dennis and Heidi, you probably get this all the time. You say, all right, it's a bet on future tax rates, because you always, fundamental principle of all good tax planning is to always pay taxes at the lowest rates. You know, it's like a stock, buy low and sell high. Now, I didn't make that one up, but for your listeners, write that one down. Buy low, sell high. That's a good one, too. That's what, I don't know if you ever came across that one, but that's a good one, too.
Yeah,
but,
never heard of it.
Yeah, right. But that's the idea with the Roth. You're buying the taxes low. And this way, you're buying off a growing, building, compounding debt in your IRA. So for the people who say, well, that sounds good, but I really believe I'll be in a lower bracket in retirement. I call that the big myth, because even it sounds like it makes sense. Because let's say you have a good job making a good income, and maybe you're making a few hundred thousand a year. So you're figuring, well, without that income, my tax rates will be much lower in the future. Probably, but maybe not. Because if you do nothing, your IRA, let's say, when I say do nothing, if you choose not to convert because you believe you'll be in a lower rate in the future, and we don't know what the future rates will be. But given our deficit and debt levels, my opinion, they can only go up. They're not going down. So that's why I think this is a good bet. But if you do nothing and you decide not to convert anything, it doesn't mean the problem goes away just because you ignored it. It's like the sign in my dentist's office. She has a sign there, ignore your teeth and they'll go away. It's the same thing here. You can't ignore it. Just because you don't convert doesn't mean your IRA won't continue to grow and compound. But now it's compounding against you, because what's growing is also a tax bill inside there. So if you do nothing, at some point, age 72 now, you'll be forced to take it out. And what I've seen happen over the years, even people that thought they would be in a lower bracket when their main source of income, their employment, went away when they were retired, they would come in and they look at their tax return and say, how could this be? My income's higher than my best working years. Well, you saved all that money in your IRA, a 401k. Now you have these RMDs, required minimum distributions, that are, in fact, larger than your former salary. So I could see that happening. So you really have to look long term. But I think the best thing is to sit down with an advisor, and I know of nobody else like Dennis and Heidi here who have the training to go through this evaluation by being members, you heard up front, of our Master Elite IRA Advisor Group. It's a specialized education group. Nothing about investments. It's to help you keep more of the money you make. Remember, with IRAs, it's what you keep that counts. People look at their statements and think that their IRA money is really theirs. But it's not. Theirs, T-H-E-I-R-S, think of the word, stands for the IRS. You know, that's who it's for.
Oh, that wasn't even fair.
There you go. That was a good one. I like that one.
Yeah. But you have to realize a lot of that is just like a mortgage on your IRA. So we train advisors like Heidi and Dennis. And Dennis, I looked up before, you've been training with us, I know you said 95, but to this high level for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the missing link for most people seeking advice. They're getting bad advice, wrong advice. Many advisors can help you make money, but when it comes to keeping it, I've seen the horror stories where people making mistakes, simple IRA rollovers, and they lose it all. I had a case that came up earlier this week. Somebody did a Roth conversion. They try to do it on their own, or with I don't even know all the facts, but the fact is they went online to one of the big fund companies, and they were trying to do an IRA rollover, but instead they hit the wrong button and converted their entire IRA. It was in the, you know, over $1 million to a Roth IRA. You can't undo that. Now they have a giant tax bill. They should have spoken to somebody. You know, this whole area of these IRA tax rules, and that's why we created this group we've been talking about that you're members of, your educational and advanced study group, you might call it, Ed Slott's Elite IRA Advisor Group, to help people make the right moves. When it comes to these tax rules surrounding IRAs, they're very complex, as you know. You sit in our meetings, and even advisors who we train over and over on this, questions still come up, but at least you know to recognize the questions, and you have us as a back office team for answers just to make sure. But these rules are often rigid, these IRS tax rules, and unforgiving. You may only have one chance to get something right. So like I said, even an IRA rollover, you could blow that by just missing the once per year rule. I've seen that happen. People may not even listening may not even say know what I'm talking about. That's okay as long as you have an advisor that does. This is an area where you need an advisor that has specialized knowledge. That's why I'm so proud to be on these programs with Dennis and Heidi, because they're preaching that. They're showing people how to compete in the second half of the game when you need to take that money out. maybe the advisor that got you there could have, you know, helped you make money. But you can only spend in retirement what you keep. And that's the key, the second half of the game, getting that money out and knowing how to make the tax laws work for you rather than against you.
Point well made, Ed.
And I want a text message here along those lines. So somebody said, we just inherited a large sum of money in a beneficiary IRA. We are admittedly fairly lame at retirement knowledge. Does Prout Financial Design take appointments with newbies even when we're in our 50s? So is that...
Absolutely.
Talk about having an advisor. Is that the kind of thing that you handle?
Sure. We offer a one-hour free consultation where you can just come in and talk about your situation. We'll have an open conversation so you can discuss these issues with us. And happy to do that. There's no obligation, and you're welcome to come on in. So our phone number at the office is 231-947-3992 or proutfinancialdesign.com. We actually have a question. Heidi pointed that out. If you would, go for it, please.
Well, I was just wondering if Ed could give us some good points to consider. If you inherit a large IRA, and so you have a beneficiary IRA, when the SECURE Act was passed, that got changed to a 10-year rule that you have to take all of those funds out by the 10th year. So I was just wondering some points we should consider when you're thinking of your strategy of how to move those funds out of the IRA.
Well, great point. I wanted to follow up on that last question, too, because that's the exact example I was talking about in the last segment, where you need an advisor that has the specialized knowledge, like Dennis and Heidi have here. An inherited IRA, it's like an eggshell. You break it, it's over. You get one chance to get this right. So before we even get into the 10-year rule, see if you even qualify for the 10-year rule. Inherited IRAs, now, Heidi and Dennis, you know from our training, I must say this, me and my team, as you know, must say this, I don't know how many times in every program, a non-spouse beneficiary cannot do a rollover. A non-spouse beneficiary cannot do a rollover. But many inheritors, especially new inheritors, don't know that. We just had a case where it was actually a ruling, which we covered in our last workshop, where somebody inherited their parents' large IRA. I think there were three beneficiaries or so. And they decided they wanted to change the investments dear old dad had in his IRA. He was a little more conservative. They wanted to trade stocks. They didn't call an advisor. I don't know if they called an advisor, and if they did, it was the wrong one. So they decided they would take the money out, trade stocks, and then they took the money out of the inherited IRA. That was dad's life savings that he saved for over 40 years. They took the money out of that inherited IRA and then wanted to put it in a different kind of account where they could trade stocks more frequently. Well, they never got to that point because the minute they took the funds out of that inherited IRA, the whole shebang was taxable. In other words, they don't have an inherited IRA. All of dad's years of working, saving, building, and investing gone in one fell swoop by one move. They went to IRS for a ruling, and this is one of the rulings we covered in our last training session, and IRS said, no way. They asked IRS in a very expensive private letter ruling, because they were desperate already, can we put this back in an inherited IRA? We realized we made a big, big mistake. And IRS said, absolutely not. And they didn't put it as clearly as I did, but basically they said the same thing. A non-spouse beneficiary, which is what you are, anybody other than a spouse cannot do a rollover. So in other words, once the funds come out, they're taxable. That's it. Game over. So they didn't even get to the 10-year rule. This is why it's so critical that the first thing, my advice to anybody who inherits is two words. I think you guys know those words. Touch nothing.
Exactly.
Touch nothing. Until you get a qualified advisor that knows how to set up a properly titled inherited IRA. Now, to your question, Heidi, assuming they did that, and hopefully this person didn't do anything yet, until they heard your answer on this program. Once you set up a properly titled inherited IRA as a new beneficiary, you're subject to the new 10-year rule, as Heidi said, under the SECURE Act. But that 10-year rule replaced the stretch IRA, something we used to have, not anymore, for most people. But the 10-year rule provides a lot of flexibility and good planning. Again, another reason why you want advisors like Dennis and Heidi and their company that take training specifically in this area. I'm telling you, most advisors don't. I've seen the horror stories. This is why I created this educational group, and we've been doing it, as Dennis said, he's been out there following me for probably over 20 years, and the problems still exist. And then during the 10 years, you can speak with an advisor, your tax or financial advisors, and see when, according to your own bracket, when it's best to take the funds out. Because you don't have to do anything during the 10 years, except at the end of the 10th year, if you do nothing, it all must come out.
It all has to be emptied. The account has to be emptied by the end of the 10th year after the year of inheriting that account. And
right,
obviously,
but the
as you said,
setting it up right from the get-go, otherwise you have no inherited IRA.
Yeah, that was the next point in getting it properly transferred, transfer only, not a rollover,
right,
to a properly named beneficiary IRA. That is a big deal. Now, isn't it interesting too, Ed, when you take a look at the tax brackets, they're not friendly when you go into $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 range, are they?
Right. Well, they are actually still pretty friendly compared to, you know, if you look at the history of tax rates, we're still in possibly the lowest rates. So mm-hmm. beneficiaries could take a little each year for 10 years and get the benefit of those low brackets for many years. So that's the idea of good planning for inherited IRAs.
Yes. So in essence, they're not going to pay as much as they maybe once would have. But it could still be extremely expensive because they're bouncing possibly into higher, much higher tax brackets.
Well, because it gets added on to, you know, the beneficiaries in their 50s might be in their own highest earnings years.
Yes. Yeah, great point. So thank you, Ed.
But this is another area where maybe look at the Roth. And this way your beneficiaries can inherit a Roth. They don't have a tax issue. And now they can hold it the whole 10 years building tax-free in the Roth.
And then take it out at the end of that 10 years.
Yeah.
So the Roth beneficiary IRA also is required under most situations to be taken out over a 10-year period. But, of course, that is all tax-free for
right.
the heirs as well. Now, what's really interesting about this whole Roth conversion thing, one last point to make about this, is that many people believe in error that they cannot convert regular IRAs to a Roth. I'm too old. I can't do that still, can I? I mean, I honestly can't believe the number of people who don't know that they can convert an IRA to a Roth. There is no income limitation. There is not an age limitation to
right.
making Roth IRA conversions.
The only question is, can you pay the tax? Is it worth it in your particular case? I get questions often from people in their 70s and 80s. They say, am I too old to convert?
Right.
And I tell them, well, it depends who you're converting for. If you're doing it for yourself, sorry to say, you know, given your limited remaining life expectancy, the tax cost up front would not be worth the benefit in your life. But many people then tell me, well, I'm really doing this for my children and grandchildren. Then it might pay.
Great point. Next question. There are two possible bills in 2022. Which one do you think is the most likely to change? Between those two, the Son of Secure 2.0, we'll call it, or the Build Back Better plan?
I don't know. You know, the Son of Secure, or what I call Son of Secure, Secure 2.0, that has the best chance of passing because that came out of committee. I don't know if your listeners will even believe the next words I'm going to say. With unanimous bipartisan support. Let me say those words again.
Wow.
Unanimous bipartisan support. That means everybody, Republicans, Democrats, voted to pass it through out of committee with full support. So if it gets tacked on to anything else, that's one that may that we could see the light of day. And the big provision there is to increase or raise the RMD age over a few years, 73, 74, 75. That sounds good, but I don't know how good that is, because the longer you put off the problem, the larger the distributions become.
Okay. Now, do you see the now that we have the new life expectancy tables, do you think that is going to make much difference for people? Because anyone who's 72 or over this year who has to take a required minimum distribution now gets to use those new life expectancy tables. Talk about that, if you would, Ed.
Well, they finally, after 20 years, they determined that people will live longer. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed, because if you'll use the life expectancy table they just put out for 2022, and this is the IRS, this is what will determine your required minimum distribution beginning in 2022. The table goes up to now 120 plus years old. So that means, by law, I guess you have to live to 120 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the amount that you have to take at age 120.
It's the law. I didn't make it.
Isn't that crazy? It's crazy.
If anyone's going to do it, Ed, it's going to be you.
Yeah. Take 50% of it, right? So we have a phone call. Let's take the phone call, if you would.
Yeah, about inheritances, Denny is on the line in Traverse City. Good morning, Denny.
Yes, good morning. I just have in-laws. Have a cottage. I've had it for 65 years. It's in a family trust to follow the daughters after their passing. And I just wonder if there are trip hazards once this takes place that we need to be watching so that we don't lose that cottage.
So the cottage is in a trust. The two daughters are going to split it evenly?
Three
daughters, all right. And you're married to one of them?
I am.
Okay. Any trip hazards, I guess, as far as taxes or anything to be on the lookout for?
Well, if you're asking me, the taxes may not be as big as an issue as the three beneficiaries getting along and splitting this up. I don't know, Denny, I don't know if you can find this online, but a couple of days ago, actually over the weekend, there was a major story. Now, this is not your case, but it could be similar, in the Wall Street Journal. Front page news about a Texas family. I don't know if you saw this, Dennis and Heidi. Squabbling heirs rock a Texas ranching dynasty. This was a former very wealthy family, but same, you know, just larger amounts, but same idea. And it says in his estate plan, former Governor Briscoe didn't account for bad blood. And the whole thing, if you want to look it up, that I gave you the exact name. You could probably Google it, Wall Street Journal. The title was Squabbling Heirs Rock a Texas Ranching Dynasty. And that came out on January, it looks like, 15th. It was a weekend issue. So they thought they had everything put in place, but then it turned out one of the daughters died, and the whole thing came out to her share. Where would it go? To the other remaining siblings, half and half? And that's what the big fight is over, because it's a big, like the article said, ranching dynasty. And wherever her shares go, if it goes to if all of her shares go to one of the remaining siblings, they control everything. So that created a mess. Now, on a smaller scale, you may have a similar issue. You said the plan was to be divided equally. And now, again, I'm reading from this article. It said, Mr. Briscoe expressed his wishes for his three children, just like yours, to share equally in the land. But that didn't happen because somebody died. There was a mess. There was arguments, lawyers, bad blood. So while that may be your parents' intention, I wonder if there are any guardrails there to make sure that happens. And maybe you have to look at that plan. So it's not about as much about the tax issues. Chances are it will be inherited probably at a step up in basis, so it'll be a nice inheritance. But it really all depends on three siblings who are probably older now. They're not kids anymore. Denny, what are the ages? Probably in their 50s, are you guys?
Actually, my in-laws are in their upper 90s. And
No, I know them, but are you guys the ones who are going to inherit?
70s.
Okay. Yeah, so you know, and you probably have your own kids and grandkids. A lot of people to fight over this stuff if it's valuable. So I would lock that down and make sure that if that's the intention, that everybody understands it's written down. Because it just so happened, as you were talking about, I had this article right on my desk. And
Ed, I need to get a break, but I want to ask Denny if he has just a final clarification or question before we get our final break. Denny, any follow-up?
I just find it interesting is that one of the daughters has passed, but in the trust, all of her part of it goes to her children.
Okay, so you have partners in this.
Right, so there's more people involved than you think. That's what you have to lock down. Will the plan see the light of day?
Yes, it's a great point. We'll talk about this some after the break. Thank you so much, Denny. Let's take a break here quickly, if you would, Ron.
Yeah, we'll get a quick break and be right back with Prout Financial Design and Ed Slott on the phone.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
And I'm the other financial advisor, Heidi Thompson.
And I'm Shay Pataja. I put the fun in financial.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio, WTCM, with Prout Financial Design. Dennis Prout is in, along with Heidi Thompson and Shay Pataja. On the line today, Mr. Ed Slott joining the show. Thank you for being on, all.
Thank you, Ron. Sure appreciate it. We were just talking at the break about a very good reference source for Denny, the previous caller, with a family situation, inheriting a cottage. Great book that talks about this is called Saving the Family Cottage by Stu Hollander. He was a local attorney, since passed, but still, Heidi mentioned that she used this as a reference source as well.
Very helpful. For our family cottage.
For your own family situation. So, Saving the Family Cottage by Stu Hollander. Obviously, goes into the legal side of inheriting, but also the relationship side, too. So lots to consider there, and I would tell Denny, if you can encourage your in-laws to really nail this down in terms of how this is going to be inherited and or to have more conversations with those who will be inheriting to make certain that they understand this, if it's possible, always a great idea. All right, so again, we have Ed Slott with us. Another question, if we may, here. How does one best utilize HSAs in retirement, health savings accounts in retirement, becoming a lot more popular, and many more are accumulating dollars in these things? So what would you say about that, Ed?
Well, again, personal to each situation, and I know you've been trained on that. In fact, we give you the charts on all of that each year on all the limits. Mm-hmm. It has the three big benefits, tax-deductible funds going in there, grows tax-free, and if it's used for medical, qualifying expenses, it's tax-free. But you have to look at your own situation. The only downside I see is some people actually overuse these things and save too much, and at the end, a lot can come out and be taxable. So you have to manage it like anything else.
Okay, so it really is another option, but you want to make certain that you're not accumulating too much in something like that. That could be a negative too, because you're passing it on and wind up possibly paying more tax on that than you might otherwise, is your point.
Well, the beneficiaries would, but it is a great way to save with tax advantage dollars for medical bills. Look, everybody's worried about high medical bills. Those are one thing that never go down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next question, a personal one of my own, when you're talking to advisors like ourselves, and you mentioned The fact that you think the taxes most likely are going to be going up, I know this has been a common theme. Are you thinking that given that tax rates are going to go higher, do you see any as well more legislation that's going to limit IRAs or limit 401ks in terms of balances? We've seen some hints of that.
Where
there may be some withdrawals required and or excise taxes.
I don't think that's ever going to come to be. It just, they got all worked up when it came out that Peter Thiel had a $5 billion Roth IRA. But that's one guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And they went crazy in Congress and put in all these proposals. We can't let that happen. and the guy did everything legally. It was just a one-off. So I don't think they're going to really start limiting people, because then they're talking about out of both sides of their mouth. They're constantly saying, oh, people aren't saving enough. What can we do? Then they save and they're successful. Now we penalize them. So it really doesn't make sense. I think that's a non-starter. And in sync with that, the other thing people ask about is, well, Roth IRAs, because we talked about that, aren't they too good? Maybe Congress would cut back on that. And that doesn't seem to be happening either, because Congress counts on that money. You know, here's a little secret for you, and, you know, only share it with the 20 million people listening, all right? So just between us.
22 million there.
Franklin said about secrets, right? Three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead.
That's great.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, yes. All right. So here's the secret. Secretly, Congress loves Roth IRAs because they bring in money up front. Remember, the only money that can get in a Roth is already tax money. It brings in money up front, and people like it. They never had a provision like this. It's a golden goose for them. They get their money up front. Luckily for us, Congress are the worst financial planners on earth, because they're such short-term thinkers. They only look at the money they get in up front. So let's take advantage of that.
So you really don't see that changing in terms of the Roth IRAs. Do you see any issues related, any connection to income, those in much higher income levels being limited than the Roth?
Well, there is a proposal in that Build Back Better bill to limit Roth conversions for people who make over $400,000 and $450,000. But here's where I told you the secret. I told you the secret. Congress loves Roth IRAs. So on the one hand, they say, we don't want higher earners being able to convert to Roth IRAs anymore. Remember years ago, back in before 2010, you couldn't convert if your income exceeded $100,000? Mm-hmm. And they took that away in 2010, and Congress got a windfall, a boatload of money of new converters, people like me. That's when I converted,
yes.
When they took the income limitation away. So they're bringing something like that back in this new proposal. But here's what's interesting about that proposal in the Build Back Better Act. It wouldn't be effective for 10 years. The effective date would be not till after 2031. So on the one hand, Congress wants to say, yeah, we're going to make sure those high earners don't get to convert, but we do want that conversion money for at least another 10 years to fill our budget deficits.
There you go. Ed, we're at the end of our time already.
No way!
You are such a rock star. Seriously. Seriously. What fun to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. What a great day, and we're looking possibly to seeing you out there in May at our next conference.
Kansas City, here we come.
That's
right. Kansas City, out west. So thanks again, Ed. Sure appreciate your knowledge, information. You have yourself a great day, and we'll see you again soon.
Back at you, Dennis, Heidi, and Shay.
All right, Ed.
Take care now.
The one and only Ed Slotz. And that will wrap it up for Prout Financial Design this hour. We'll repeat as we do every Saturday at 9 a.m. For information, go to proutfinancialdesign.com.
Or call our office at 231-947-3992.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.